What's up, everybody?
Yo, what up, people?
My man is excited today.
All the time.
Look, we got another episode for y'all today. I am Civil.
And I'm Savage. Alexander the Great Banks.
I just love how you decided to just kind of like come in with that savage, deep voice sound.
It is. You know what? I like it, and I hope the ladies like it and enjoy it as well.
Oh, God. You were like, I like it, and I hope everybody likes it
too. Hey, look, I was thinking about something today, and I wanted to share with you on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Look, every time this happens, I get very, very nervous.
Don't get nervous, man. I'm realizing that I don't know if I could be friends with you anymore.
Oh, God. So, God.
I never think about racism like that. But today I was at the grocery store, and you be making me look at things from a racist perspective.
Me?
And oh yeah, I mean, like, sometimes your celebration of blackness is great and I appreciate it, but then I think about shit just being racist and shit. So I'm looking at down the Little Debbie aisle, and I've thought this before, but I'm like, damn, Little Debbie is racist, right? let me tell you what drew my conclusion to that, right?
Oh, God. And this has never crossed my mind, so yeah.
So this okay. has absolutely nothing to do with the topic of today. I just thought I should bring it up. But so I'm looking at the Little Debbie snacks, and I know this is stupid, but I had to share it. I'm looking at the fancy cakes, right? There's these white cakes with like a beautiful drizzle design on the top, and they look delicious and shit. And they're white and they're fluffy and delicious looking, right? God, and so then weird. There's the devil squares, which is just like brick of nastiness. And I'm like, why the black ones gotta be? Why can't I have the drizzle on the black ones? And then I realized, I was like, damn, I've been hanging with Daniel too long.
Okay, look, first of all,
I'm so proud
that my way of seeing the world as it is rubbing off on you. Second of all, I have never looked at Little Debbie's and thought, man, these are some racist snacks. That just means that you're slowly absorbing what we talk about. Because I want to be clear with folks. When Banks and I talk about racism, I'm not one of those who talks about things that aren't there. I do my best to make sure that when I see racism, particularly white supremacy, it's things that are there because it's everywhere. Like, I didn't make the system the way it is. White people did. And then it just got passed down to every generation. Right. So I'm not one who wants to like, go, man, look at them angel food cakes and the devil food cakes. But, right. It's racist.
It's fancy cakes and devil squares. Come on, man. That shit racist. But I'm sorry to bring that up because it was fresh in my mind. And I was like, damn, Little Debbie, you racist bitch.
But
if Little Debbie wants to sponsor us, I'm down with that.
Not after that.
She probably won't. But I mean, is it not a little racist to you?
Like
devil squares and fancy cakes. Come on, man.
I don't know how they came up with the name for it, but like, so on the one hand, we could be humorous about it. People go, "Oh, there's nothing to it." But I mean, if you want to be serious about it, then there are like these ideas of what we have in our head when we think about white people and we think about black people or we think about non-white people. And these things are absorbed over time. It's first of all, it's not our fault because we learn these things as kids. And a lot of people think that they never pick these things up, but we all do. Like, even black people and non-white people pick up the racial hierarchy in the United States and Canada and Australia and Britain and these different countries. And so you pick these things up, and then over time, all these other things get smuggled into what white means and what black means in these things. So criminality is assumed with black folks in a way that's not assumed with white folks. Purity is assumed with white folks. And there's all these different assumptions that are passed down to us about people just from skin color and ethnicity and culture. And so you could look at like the snacks and people will laugh and say, oh, that's not how the world works. And it's like, well, you haven't read a history book because the world is like this.
It all feeds into that. Like it, yeah. Like when you're walking as a little kid and you're looking at it and the kid's like, oh, these devil squares are gross. Let's just get the fancy cake, the white ones. So
yeah. Or like,
subliminal racism.
But, yeah. Because if people who make things are racist, then their assumptions about the world, anything that they view about the world could come out in the things that they make. I was reading an article about this, particularly when it comes to AI, that I think it was Facebook, their AI chatbot is displaying anti-Semitism. It has anti-Semitic biases and they're having to work on it. And I thought to myself, I didn't laugh at the anti-Semitism. That's not funny. But I laughed at the irony that nobody's ever going to look at the people who built it and question what are their biases. Because right. It's not like the system, the AI chatbot just woke itself up and said, hey, I'm just going to be anti-Semitic. Like, it didn't do that. It got it from somewhere. But if we're never going to look at the biases that folks have, we're never going to address these issues. I think this is actually a perfect segue into the first topic we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss a couple things today. We're going to talk about the new Beyonce album, and we're going to do an update on Deshaun Watson. But I think it would be really good to use this time to kind of lead into the Brittany Griner story and her Russian imprisonment, because we're talking about racism. We're talking about the way different folks are treated. And I think this is a perfect time to lead into that. Now, you wanted to talk about this, so I'm going to let you lead on it and kind of bring up what you wanted to discuss.
So Brittany Griner, if you didn't know already, if you live under a rock or just don't watch the news or anything like that, she was imprisoned in Russia. Her sentence was handed down, I believe, last week. It was 9.5 years for 0.7 grams of CBD oil. From a vape pen that she accidentally brought. So I think about, when I'm thinking about this, I think about one that WNBA players, the average salary is about $128,000 a year, with the lowest salary being about $60,000 a year, and the highest paid WNBA players make about $200,000 a year. And this could be feeding into the fact that, you know, not as many people turn out for WNBA games as NBA games. And still, they still have to travel overseas to supplement their income. Now, I mean, I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, she had 0.7 grams. For us, it's like, whatever, dude, it's CBD oil, call it a day. But over there, you know, their conviction rates are extremely high. She pled guilty to accidentally having it, and they gave her 9.5 years. So I think about, if this was an NBA player, like somebody like LeBron James, or somebody like, you know, just like the coach said, if it was LeBron James, he'd be home already. However, this is not an NBA player. This is a WNBA player. And again, they don't generate as much revenue as men's sports or men's basketball. So, I mean, what is our government going to do about securing her release? What are your thoughts?
So I'm right there with you. My heart is broken over this, and I just wanted to come home. There's a number of issues with this story that when you hear the way people talk about it, it tells you where that person stands when it comes to like what it means to be an American, where that person stands when it comes to morality and whether they're just a good person or not. So the first issue people bring up when you go into sometimes the cesspool that is the internet comments, you hear people talk about, well, if she didn't want the time, she shouldn't have done the crime. Well, the truth is she's an American and she's in a foreign country. So truly, I don't really care what anyone has to say in judgment of her. I just want her to come home. You know, we can, like, she can have conversations with whomever about the infraction that led to it, but that's nothing to do with the fact that she should be brought home. The comparison that you made in reference to the NBA and WNBA players, I think that's one of the most important points that I am happy to see covered, and it needs to be discussed even more, which is, why was she in Russia? She was in Russia to make money in the offseason playing basketball. Well, why does she need to make money? Because WNBA players don't make as much as men. Now, whether it's college basketball or college sports or professional sports, I've had arguments with people and they love to act as though, oh, no, women just don't bring in the money. No, there's a really great piece. I don't remember her name, but there was a woman. She's a reporter. She wrote a great piece about how even in college, women sell out arenas and they still don't get anywhere near the same treatment as men. Don't get the same prizes, same size trophies, same size financial support, any of it. So it goes beyond, oh, do enough people support them? I would argue that doesn't matter because women deserve to be able to play professional sports just like men do.
Right.
The bigger issue is it's such a disparity that women have to go to other countries and play in the off season so that they can have enough money so then they can come back and play in the United States during the WNBA season. And Brittany Griner, who's one of the best players in the WNBA.
One of the best.
One of the best. She had to do this. And that's absolutely ridiculous when the men are making significantly more. And this disparity could be addressed if it were a priority. And so the Biden administration has been negotiating like a prisoner exchange, her and another American Whelan. Prisoner.
Whelan.
In exchange for a Russian arms dealer. Now, people get upset about that. I don't care. Bring her home. but just like we were talking about race earlier, and I know, you know, we're joking about Little Debbie Snacks, but when you talk about racism, I mean, it's everywhere. And it's because the dominant society made it everywhere. And it's even in this discussion of, because this happened to a black woman.
Right.
So, and one last thing I want to say before I throw it to you, that one of the things that racism does, one of the things that oppression does, one of the most insidious aspects of it, one of the most heartbreaking things that racism and oppression does in general is that it limits imagination. It takes away the ability to imagine different outcome and paths. Why do I say that? Because I can't imagine this happening to a white WNBA player.
Oh, no, not at all. I can't either.
Even if we don't even go to the NBA, if we just stay in the WNBA, I cannot imagine this happening to Diana Taurasi or Sue Bird. I just can't see it happening. And that gets to the heart of the matter. Because, look, Russia is going to be Russia. Like, right. I don't see the point in even criticizing them because Russia is going to be Russia. They're terrible on this. They're terrible on a lot of things. But the reaction of let's judge Brittany Griner over this instead of, hey, we can have them conversation later. She just need to come home. It's heartbreaking to see. And it's heartbreaking that she's got to sit there and take a 9-year sentence, which to me is almost entirely a political measure.
Oh, for sure.
Meant to attack the United States because of its position in the Russia-Ukraine conflict. It's just heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah. And again, I mean, she is definitely one of the best players in the league. And, you know, I don't feel like we've done this quick enough. Even if it was a white player that was stuck over there, I feel like this would have been done a lot faster. it would have been done a lot more efficiently. And I don't think that they would even have the trial as they did. It was kind of a joke trial. She pled guilty thinking that she would get like probation or, you know, like a year or whatever. She got 9.5 years for 0.7 grams
in a penal colony. And right. for those, I just want to read this real quick for those who are unaware. When we say penal colony, this is not something that's just easy. For example, an outspoken critic of the Kremlin, Alexei Navalny, I hope I'm saying that right, was sent to penal colony number 2, east of Moscow. I'm reading this from MSN.com. Before he was reportedly transported in June to a high security facility, which his spokeswoman described as a monstrous place. He even called penal colony number 2 our friendly concentration camp.
So that's what we're talking about. Concentration camp right now.
Yeah. Modeled, like, these are modeled after the gulag. And even if you don't know exactly what the gulag is, I'm sure hearing that word sent a shiver down your spine. Oh. And that's what she's got to deal with just because of the pretense of crime. Because come on, folks, let's not pretend like her having this vape pen and whatever amount of cannabis oil or whatever it was, let's not pretend like that was such a grave thing that it requires 9 years of horrific treatment.
Right.
Let's not act like that.
Yeah, and let's not. And let's focus on reaching out to our public figures, man, to push them to get her home, man. She needs to be home. She needs to be home for her wife. She needs to be home with her family. It's just insane that she's still there. And I was watching the news about it, and the fact that, you know, her family's upset. Initially, they told her family to just be quiet and just take it. And in February, when she was initially arrested, but we're coming up, and we're in August right now, and she's been there since February. There's got to be something that could have been done, should have been done by now. And I just don't think it would be the same. Again, if it was a male player, again, if it was a white female player or a white straight female player or a straight player, I think her treatment has to do with not only her being black, but also being a lesbian female. I don't think that they're pushing as hard to do it.
So here's where I've got to do something I don't want to do.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got to kind of give Biden a little bit of help. A little bit, because I do think, look, I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't like Democrats for the most part, and I definitely don't like Republicans. So I'm not going to sit here and defend either party because I don't identify with either. But I will say this to be fair. I think that Biden in many cases is a pushover. I think he's been quite a bit of a pushover throughout his presidency so far. And people say, oh, well, look at all the things he got done, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. I still think he's a pushover.
Right.
But
I agree with you on that.
He's a pushover. He lets the real president, Joe Manchin, push him around. He lets the VP, Kristen Sinema, push him around, slap him up. But I also think that with Ukraine, that this makes the Brittany Griner situation very difficult to maneuver. And because if not for Russia, Ukraine, then I don't believe that this would be drawn out. I actually think that conflict is making this drawn out because the United States took a position early on.
Right.
And by taking that position, well, Russia's like, okay, we'll find a way to screw you guys over the next chance we get. And they've been trying to do it through imports and exports. So then this comes up and the United States doesn't have a lot of leverage because the leverage, what Russia would want is, hey, stop supporting Ukraine. Allies, stop supporting Ukraine. And then maybe we'll think about it. But that's not something the United States is going to do. Also, as much as I want to, so I'm giving a little bit to Biden on this and the Biden administration. However, this is the same Biden that when he ran for VP with Obama said, oh, he's running. He's going to be Obama's VP. And that's really good because he's good on foreign policy. It's like, okay, well, can I see it? Because it seems to me like he was good for 8 years. Right. He helped with the climate accords and he helped deal with different conflicts. Not everything under Obama administration was done well, but that's a different podcast for a different day.
Right.
But his strength was supposed to be foreign policy. And I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen it that much under this presidency, but particularly with this issue, I'm not seeing it. Now, there will be a Biden supporter who says, well, he's negotiating in the background. He's got Bill Richardson, who's known for negotiating these things. And, you know, they're working on it. I know they're working on it. But how much of this term is Brittany Griner going to have to serve before she comes home? And as Black writers have shown and written about, what does this say about how America sees Black people and Black women and queer Black folks if it takes forever to get her home?
It says what we already know. The our country has an issue with letting people just be who the fuck they are. And I mean, you and I both know that. We talk about it all the time. We talk about people just, our country just doesn't want people to be who the hell they are. And it's stupid to me. I'm sure it's stupid to you.
Yes.
We did do a podcast about, you know, transgender athletes. However, my personal opinion on that is very different from yours. But at the end of the day, I do believe that, you know, we should be serving the people in our community, whether it be through, you know, sports or whether it be through whatever. We should be supporting the people just being who the hell they are. And yes. I think that's part of the reason why it is taking so long. I mean, they didn't really start jumping on this thing, my personal opinion, until her wife start getting on the news and letting it be known, like, hey, we need to work on bringing this home. Before, it was all hush hush and hush hush, and you guys shouldn't say anything. You guys shouldn't poke the bear and all that stuff. And then, you know, it took her getting on the news multiple times, talking about the situation before Biden gave her a call. He didn't give her a call. He gave her a call, what, last month in July? She'd been in there since February. And then he calls her wife in July and says, hey, we're going to work on bringing her home. Why weren't you working on bringing her ass home fucking in February?
Yeah, honestly, I think that the Russia-Ukraine situation makes the negotiations here very precarious. But with that being said, I don't think that's an excuse for how he's handled it. And yeah, like if you go back to our earlier podcast about trans athletes, our debate was more so how things should be done. It wasn't a debate about whether trans people should be recognized and included in equal rights and treatment in sports. By the way, you should listen to that podcast. We are better than we were in that podcast, but it's still worth the listen. But even then, like, it reminds me of something that Steve Jobs used to say when he was alive about iPhones. Because early on, you couldn't get different color iPhones. I think they were like all black at first. Right. And somebody asked him early on, like, hey, do you have different colors? And he said, you can pick whatever color you want. You can have whatever color you want so long as it's black. And like when it comes to identity in the United States, you can be whatever you want so long as the identity that's acceptable. Right. and if it's not, then you start to suffer based on how society is set up. Society is set up all with all these interconnected parts where the more different things you are that aren't white and male and rich and Christian and capitalist, you're going to start to hit walls and difficulties and different things. And now somebody will say, what does that have to do with this? Well, because if Brittany Griner is rich, then she doesn't have to go play in Russia, which means that she's not in Russia when this happens. Because people will say, well, if you're an American and this happens, what do you expect? except I remember when the Ball brothers got in trouble abroad and they were brought home. I remember when Travis Scott got in trouble. A$AP Rocky. It was A$AP Rocky.
A$AP Rocky.
Got in trouble abroad, and he was able to come home. This isn't the first time Americans have gotten in trouble abroad. And yes, those places weren't Russia, but the point still stands that there is supposed to be something special about that blue passport. There's supposed to be something special about American citizenship. And when we say, well, yeah, but this is just really complicated. Okay, but that's what the president signs up for.
Right. Like, and I mean, that's your job.
That's the job.
You're elected to make these tough calls and handle these tough situations. If you're a pushover, then you're not going to be able to make these tough calls and handle these tough situations. It's not happening.
Yeah, especially
never be in a leadership position if you don't know how to take criticism or don't know how to handle situations or making judgment calls.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, if they don't take care of Britney soon, that's going to look horrible, because Britney is in this weird spot where on the one hand, she's a public figure, mm-hmm. but on the other, she's not a celebrity.
Right.
And so she is just famous enough that mistreatment and like mistreatment of her is going to cause significant blowback and problems. Now, if it's among Black people, I mean, society will just ignore us like they always do, but it's going to be enough that it's going to cause problems. Like if Biden is smart, like, I hate to say this, I don't really like saying this, but
because he's not smart.
Well, it's because of the political side of it, because unfortunately, a lot of our politicians don't really see us as people. They see things in terms of political wins, which is not good when we're talking about people's lives. But from a political standpoint, if he doesn't take care of this by the midterms later this year, then that's going to really hurt him. So unfortunately, it might be the case that they take care of Brittany Griner because it won't hurt them in the midterms.
Right.
That's very unfortunate. But like that's the way politics works. I mean, at the end of the day, like I said at the beginning, she should come home because she's one of ours.
Right.
Bring her home. I don't care about anything else. Just bring her home. I don't know when that's going to happen, and I don't think it's soon. I do think at the very least they went through the sentencing and everything because there is a deal being negotiated, but also they didn't want to look like they couldn't do their jobs, the Russian legal system.
Right.
And so they wanted to issue that verdict down. But I tell you what, if she starts serving any of that time, it's going to look absolutely positively terrible.
Right. And it will, you know, and you think about how nobody's really talking about. I think the Trevor Reed thing was a win for the Biden administration. And then, you know, Brittany Griner's over there now a famous Black person. And I get it, man. Like, I get that this is not easy. And even in the midst of, I know you were talking about this Ukrainian conflict being a part of the reason why it's making it difficult, but Trevor Reed came home probably what, 2 months ago, 3 months mm-hmm. ago. So in the midst of the conflict and the heaviest firefight, so if they could do it for him, they could do it for her, and you know, Paul Whelan. So
well, you know how I feel. Like, right. White people can do for white people whatever they want to do. Like there is no lack of possibility or imagination as to what could be done for a white person if they're rich enough.
Fucking but, fancy cakes.
Devils.
There's
no limit to what can be done for white people, you know, but we'll see what happens. We're going to keep our eyes on it. We're wishing her the best. I'm hoping that she's able to come home, take the time she needs to recover, get therapy, spend time with her family, play basketball as she wants to. And, and hopefully she'll get the financial support she needs so that her and other WNBA players don't have to go and play abroad anymore. Because, and I'm not knocking the Russian basketball players who seem to be showing solidarity with her.
Right.
But nah, at this point, man, like folks don't need to just step over there. And Americans, If you are traveling abroad, don't play with the Russian country.
Don't be fucking with them. Please don't play around
because don't assume that you have to do something wrong for there to be problems. Right. Okay, because in the United States, that's definitely not true. speaking of things wrong, I know, but I don't know why, but that just evokes a particular image in my head.
These devil squares just out here on the streets doing bad shit.
Well, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me, I don't know if you read the story, but years ago, there was an article, I think it was in the Boston Globe, and it was about how, I mean, we know how racist this white people in Boston are, but it was, and people would say, well, not all. Okay, sure.
That's but the how story he feels was about you guys.
No, I just feel like that about racist people. Right. But there was a story about how the police in Boston are so racist that they would use, they use code words for black people. And so one of their code phrases was nobody likes Mondays. And Mondays was code for black people. So they were just going around. Huh?
Is that real life?
Yeah, that was real. That was Google Nobody Likes Mondays Boston. And you should find the article that was written about it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so like they were using the codes for black people so that they could just disparagingly talk about black people in public. And it's when you said that, like a black man on a Friday night, it just made me think like, oh, Mondays. So speaking of black men, we're two for two so far in these segues. Right. Speaking of black men, let's talk about Deshaun Watson. I know you wanted to. Well, I think I brought up Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, you brought up Deshaun Watson, but
yeah,
we could go there.
Yeah. Well, we did a hilarious episode where Savage was in true form, called Deshaun Watson's Poor Man's Crimes, and you'll have to listen to why Savage calls them Poor Man's Crimes. And while his reasoning is shocking and crazy, it actually makes a lot of sense. I told somebody about the podcast episode, and I told them what you said, what they said, and what you said, and their eyes just got big, like just the size of giant plates. Their eyes were like, okay. Well, Deshaun Watson got a 6-game suspension, right? It was 6. And then everybody got upset about that. The NFL did their drama play where they pretend like they're upset about something that's their fault.
Right.
And then they're appealing the decision, excuse me, and they're appointing someone to go over it. So since we talked about it in last episode and talked about the punishment suspension, and since they gave him a specific amount of games and then now they're overturning it, I thought it would be good to quickly touch on it. Did you have any thoughts about it now that you heard about the suspension and then the appeal?
I don't think that 6 games is enough, man. Look, if you're going to be out here committing poor man's crimes, you're going to have to get like poor man's consequences, right? So, you know, if Bill Gates was shoplifting at Target, he gonna get arrested. Like, it's Bill Gates. I get it. It's a poor man's crime, though, Bill. Don't go out here shoplifting. However, if you're Deshaun Watson and you're molesting multiple women,
allegedly.
Hey,
I know, I got to put it in there for legal reasons.
Hey, look, man.
Legal reasons.
The one thing I'm going to say about that is if one woman comes forward and says that you do it, it might be a hit or miss. But what, 20 fucking like three
25.
Now?
25. Yeah, like 24, 25.
It's a ridiculous amount. Just like the president grabbing pussies. I think Deshaun Watson was grabbing Instagram masseuses. Like, I mean, whipping it out. It's, look, there's things that you should do and there's things that you shouldn't do. And that's one thing that you shouldn't do.
Well, so, yeah.
Poor man's crimes, man. You can't be out here committing poor man's crime when you're rich and famous.
So Banks and I talked about this in an episode that y'all will not hear because we were like, you know what? We could do it better. So we decided to do that episode basically today. And there was one of the things I said there that I'm going to say here, which is that I think the way that this suspension has gone goes to show that the NFL is full of it as far as the governing body of the NFL and the owners, most of the owners. I wouldn't put all of them in this category, but most of them are full of it. And this is a problem created by the NFL. And so the NFL doesn't get to do anything that I give them credit for. I blame them for this. The six games came down because of the ways that they gave punishments in the past. The way that they will give a full indefinite suspension to Calvin Ridley because he was betting on a game that his team was in that he didn't play in. But the way that they would have given Ray Rice two games for punching his girlfriend and her head knocking up against the bar in an elevator. And they, knocking her out, gave her two games. Then the video comes out and now they're like, oh, we didn't mean it. The NFL has consistently demonstrated that they don't respect women. They simply respect the fruit of women. So they want women's eyeballs, attention, money, support, but they don't want to respect women as people, and they don't want to respect people who respect women. Because otherwise you wouldn't put down these ridiculous rulings time after time, whether it's Greg Hardy, whether it's Ray Rice, whether it's Kareem Hunt. The list goes on and on and on of men who have treated women in foul, disgusting ways and still have been able to play sports. And fans are just like, okay, cool, but are they going to be playing this week for my fantasy or not?
Right. Because should I put them in the game or should I draft them?
Because that's what so many fans care about. They care about, right. And that gets to the heart of how you could tie together Brittany Griner, Deshaun Watson, and a lot of these situations. And when we say, for example, like, this wouldn't have happened to a white woman. Well, because white people in society are typically deemed more valuable than black folks. Deshaun Watson is one of these rare cases of a black person who has so much value to other people that they're willing to overlook all these things so that he doesn't get punished too much. And they do this for NFL players, but they don't do this just for black folks in the wild. Like, for example, Ezra Miller. Ezra Miller. Ezra Miller, who is the Flash, mm-hmm. He is accused of felony burglary, all sorts of stuff right now. Allegedly has a family at his house. There's a question of whether they're there willingly or not. There was a restraining order put on him for his actions to, like, it's just these stories about him are absolutely crazy. Meanwhile, DC is like, hey, yeah, we're still excited to release his movie later, right. Because he has a lot of value to these folks. And so they're going to stand by him regardless of the things he's done and whether it's okay or not. And these things are not okay. They're absolutely heinous. Right. It's the same with Deshaun Watson. Black people typically don't get treated like this. We typically get discarded even when we haven't done anything wrong just because the system wants to do it. But in Deshaun's case, it's like, no, man, he's the top 10 quarterback. We're going to let all this stuff slide. Oh, Kareem Hunt, Greg Hardy, we're going to let all that slide. Antonio Brown, we're going to let it slide because he's immensely valuable to us. But you send a message to everyone else that, okay, yeah, we value what he does on the field. We don't value anyone else as people, though.
And something I want to include in that, man. So, look, I believe that the NFL was prepared for this. I believe that the Browns were like, all right, well, let's give him $230 million, even though he committed a poor man's crime.
Fully guaranteed.
Now, that contract stipulates his first year is, what, $1 million?
A million dollar salary
his first year. So out of the $230 million contract that he has, he's only going to lose about $345,000 in income by missing six games. This is bullshit to me. I think he should be paying back all of that shit from last year. His entire salary from last year should go. I think that they structured his contract contract purposely, and the NFL let this happen. They structured his contract perfectly so that it wouldn't affect him at all. There are zero consequences for this man. Six games, blah. It's bullshit. Six games is bullshit. And
yes, it is.
You can call me savage or whatever you want, but it's bullshit. He's a fucking perv. He's an Instagram perv, and he should be punished for more than $6,000 and $345,000. That's like me losing a $20 bill. Like I lost it. Oh shit. But if, to him, you know, poor man's crimes are only cost you $345,000 when you have $230 million coming. So who cares?
Well, you know, two things about that I think are worth mentioning. Well, three. The first is I think it's really important that point you made about the fact that he collected money last year and didn't play.
Not a damn game.
Second, if you're upset about the suspension, it's the NFL's fault, because the special appointee, she ruled based on the NFL's past rulings when it comes to the personal conduct policy. And they only brought like five cases to her. She didn't actually rule on all 20 something incidents. They treated it like four or five. So she looked at it like, okay, here's four or five. And this is how the NFL's ruled on this in the past. So I'm going to give, a ruling that's consistent with how the NFL typically functions. That means that the NFL set the precedent for this. Mm-hmm. Through their past rulings. And the NFL is absolutely terrible on this. So this is all the NFL's fault. The other thing that's very interesting about his contract is that there is a provision in it, according to ESPN, that they could take action against him if anything else comes out that he didn't advise them of. Mm-hmm. New allegations that are basically, I think, that are different in nature than what they already know. But he had to stipulate in like an affidavit everything that has happened, everything that he's done. That way, if there's something new happens, they can look at it and say, well, you didn't stipulate this to us. We're going to pursue legal action to get out of paying whatever percentage of the contract we think we could get out of paying. I'm very curious to see what the Browns know, because it seems to me, like you said, they know a lot.
Right.
They know much more they're letting on. But they also didn't investigate and talk to specific people because they didn't want certain answers. The last thing I'll say is this. The NFL front office with Goodell, they can only do so much, right? The owners are the ones who have the power. And the truth is, if them owners decide I'm going to give this guy $230 million guarantee and y'all can't do nothing about it, I mean, Goodell can't really do nothing about it because he works for the owners. Who's going to have to do something are the owners. Right. The owners themselves are going to have to do something. And I don't know if they're going to do that because the owners are very wary about doing anything to each other because they don't want it done to them. So it's just an entire mess all around. People are going to be very upset about it till football season comes. I don't know how many games he's going to be out, but once he starts playing, if he starts playing well, man.
They're not going to give a flying fuck. I hope he gets suspended the whole year because I'm a Steelers fan, and I know I might be biased.
Oh, God.
I sound like the NFL right now. No, no. Hey, if you're on my fantasy league, go ahead and pick up Deshaun Watson.
I don't think that the Browns are even I don't even know if they're counting this season. You know what I mean? Because I think I read that Kareem Hunt wants to trade too. I don't know if the Browns are even going to, they might take this season at a loss. You know what I mean? Because depending on how many games Deshaun is out, I mean, they go from deep playoff contender to, maybe they'll get in the playoffs. I mean, they just bungled everything with Deshaun Watson. And also, I'm not going to just blame them. I mean, my not my, but the ridiculous Falcons embarrassed themselves trying to go after Deshaun Watson along with the Saints and the Panthers.
Right.
Like all these teams that were like desperate to go after him, just absolutely ridiculous. I respect the fact that the Steelers did not publicly go after him.
Oh, hell no.
And I don't think – well, I mean, look, the worst thing y'all could do is follow up Roethlisberger with Sean Watson. So
Ben Roethlisberger, but that's okay.
But look, let's not act like the Steelers did it just out of the kindness of their heart. They knew they couldn't weather that storm. But I'm curious to see what the NFL does, because if the Browns implode – because they're the Browns,
right?
Then it'll be a very interesting thing to see like how it goes. But I don't know. I'm – like people are still going to watch, and it's going to keep going like it always does.
I typically wish people success in football because football's hard. But in this case, I mean, I hope he does play like shit. So, I mean, it sounds fucked up, but I hope he does play like shit. So you could say, oh, I wasted $230 million on this sexual assault artist committing poor man's crimes. So do we really want to do this or not? But I mean, if you want to spend that money on Deshaun Watson, go right ahead, man. I think that, you know, there were better options out there, or possibly, but you know, the way that they were all fumbling over, you would think that he was the second coming of Jesus Christ, man, because you know, you're really gonna pay this person for that, even though there are teams that needed him at quarterback, that were like, man, fuck that dude. But
you know what? This is the last
thing. You really want to pay him $230 million?
The thing about Deshaun Watson that annoyed me, there's a lot of things about his behavior that I just find absolutely ridiculous. But the way they talked about him was annoying, because they were like, this is a top five quarterback. And I'm like, where? Like, in what ranking?
Right.
Like, because it's like, okay, Tom Brady.
You're right.
Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Justin Herbert. And yeah. I'm not doing a ranking.
No, Justin Herbert.
Yeah. I just want to show something. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. That's five.
Right. Where's Deshaun Watson in that?
Somebody might say that Deshaun Watson is better than Justin Herbert. Okay. No. I don't know if I say that. I don't even think he's better than Russell Wilson.
I don't think he's better than fucking Kirk Cousins, but, you know, maybe.
Oh, no, he's better than Kirk Cousins.
Do you really think so?
Kirk Cousins only wins at the bank. He only wins at the bank with the guaranteed deals. Kirk Cousins is a classic example of how hard it is to find a decent quarterback, because you don't pay Kirk Cousins, like, what, 3 years, $84 million guaranteed? You don't pay him that. If it was easy to find a decent quarterback, you right. pay him that, because it's really hard to find a decent quarterback, unless you're looking for Colin Kaepernick, who's not going to get an opportunity because NFL teams say they want to win, but they just say that.
Yeah,
they don't actually mean it.
They don't want to win at all.
No.
But you know what? As you say that about Kirk Cousins, he ranks since six in the NFL. And QB rating. So we could talk negatively about Kirk Cousins, but at the end of the day, he's sixth ranked quarterback in the NFL.
Okay, well, number so one,
let's talk
about
Kirk Cousins. Well, and okay, he has Justin Jefferson too, and
Adam, yeah, he does, so and Dalvin Cook,
difference, and Dalvin Cook. So that makes
a decent defense, and Thielen. So here's the thing I'll say about Kirk Cousins. Number one, it's fun to bash him because It's fun because Kirk Cousins is to me decent. He's not good. He's not bad. He's decent, and he's not going to win you a Super Bowl. The other thing, I mean, he's not. The other thing is, I don't really put much stock at QBR. That's just me. So to me, it's more about like stats, like sacks, touchdowns, interceptions, first down conversion, those kind of things. Because some of these numbers can be fudged. I mean, you could look at a quarterback's box numbers and go, oh, man, like, look at how many yards he threw for. Look at this and that. But then you go look at the play breakdown. If it's a bunch of screen passes, then it's a different evaluation than if he's throwing the ball down the field. Like sometimes you'll see quarterbacks who are like 11 for 13 for 154 yards and like one or two touchdowns. And I'm like, man, that was probably a rough game. How much did they run the ball? You know what I mean? Like there's a big picture to kind of look at. So, I mean, I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is bad. I'm just not saying he's good. I'm just saying he's decent.
You don't think he's better than Deshaun Watson?
Oh, Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. Yeah. I mean, maybe, like, you say, hey, look. If you say Deshaun Watson's top 10, then I'm like, okay, we could probably find room in him for the top 10. But top five, I'm like, I don't know, man. He ain't played in a year. You know what? It's funny how when Kaepernick didn't play for a year, all of a sudden we don't know if he could play anymore. Deshaun Watson doesn't play for a year and nobody notices.
Right. I mean, there's quarterbacks that are out for a year and you can tell by the way that their team is falling apart and the way that they're playing like shit. Let's take, for instance, when Joe Burrow got injured for the Bengals.
Oh, yeah.
The whole entire year. And it was noticeable. But then last year they go and get Tyrod Taylor. Well, actually, here, I want to say something real quick about Tyrod Taylor. His fucking agent should get all the high fives and handshakes that he wants for the rest of his life, because somehow he keeps ending up in these places. And I'm like, how the fuck is Tyrod Taylor still working? He's a fucking terrible quarterback. But that's
not terrible.
Tyrod Taylor is terrible.
No, he's not.
He sucks, man.
He
would have been pulled out of every single team. He's been on what, three different teams? Four different teams since his fumble and since his shit in Buffalo. I mean, they thought he was the second coming of Jesus, and then he just ends up on these teams, and I don't know how he's a starting quarterback for these teams. But they didn't do shit with him last year. They put in Davis Mills, and they never brought him back when he came off an injury. They put in Justin Herbert at the Chargers. They never put him back in off an injury. Like, I mean, there's a reason why these quarterbacks are taking over, and Tyrod Taylor just ain't it.
Okay, okay, you're not being fair to Tyrod. A couple things. First of all,
fair to his agent, because his agent is the shiznit.
Okay, so a couple things about Tyrod, and this is, I talked about this in a previous podcast, but this is, Tyrod is one of the examples of black quarterbacks being treated differently than white quarterbacks. So Tyrod comes into the league and is put too high of expectations on him early on. He should have been kind of built up. He wasn't a bust. They just didn't build around him and set up the team around him the way they like to do for other guys. Whereas Josh Allen, when Josh Allen steps up, the team, he has more help around him, and then they get help around Josh Allen, who himself is a really great quarterback. But Tyrod Taylor went to the Chargers, and he lost his job because the Chargers team doctor punctured his lung before the game. I'm looking at CBSSports.com. That's why he lost his position. He lost his position because the doctor punctured a hole in his lung. And they put in – dude, it's true. I'm looking at the article right now. And so
– but when he healed, did they put him back in?
Well, that's what I was about to get to next. You put in Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert steps up and plays and balls out. And Justin Herbert is young. You've got him locked down for several years, and he looks like he could be the future of your team. You wouldn't put Tyrod Taylor back in because Justin proved himself as playing well. You would only put Tyrod back in if he didn't play well. Very similar to how they did in Miami with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua. Where Tua comes in, but he's kind of struggling, so you put Ryan back in. So, again, Tyrod was decent for the Houston Texans, and he gets hurt. So part of this is injuries, Okay. The other part is like, some of it's just the way things break. So let's be clear about Tyrod. Is he a starting quarterback?
No.
Probably not. Is he a good backup? Yes. Because he's experienced, he carries himself well, all the things they say they like in backup quarterbacks. So this was a case where he just went to different places, things didn't break for him, and it just didn't work out. This happens with a lot of guys.
And I want to ride with you on that, but I'm thinking about that, and I want to be with you on it, but at the end of the day, what's the guy from the Ravens? Tyler Huntley last year came in for Lamar Jackson, and he's a young guy. He balled out. He played really, really well in the games that he played in. And they're not going to leave Tyler Huntley out there. They're going to put it back Lamar Jackson when he's healthy. If you're a good quarterback and you're doing what the hell you're supposed to be doing and you're balling out, if you get injured, there's no question, no matter how good your backup plays, there's no question that you're going back in there. Like, as soon as you're healthy, they're throwing you back in. And that's what it boils down to. He's not as great of a quarterback as people give him credit for.
I don't know if anybody's giving him credit. Like Tyrod Taylor's not somebody people go, man, let me fight for him today.
Right. No, and you're right. That's not going to happen.
I'm looking at his stats right now, and these are not bad stats. I mean, it's way better than some other guys who have started. Like, I look at him at the Buffalo Bills, and I see a guy who consistently threw for, like, Buffalo, 63% passing, 61%, 62%. Those are not bad numbers. This is a guy who played 14, 15 games for the Bills. Right. Those are not bad numbers. He gets to Cleveland, only plays 4 games. He gets to the Chargers, plays 2 games, got hurt, obviously, and then goes to the Texans, plays 6 games before I think he gets hurt, 60% passing rate. So this is not a bad quarterback.
But he gets hurt for Davis, and Davis Mills comes in and takes over. They don't put Tyrod back when he's healthy. They just left
him. Of course, because Davis is young. Again, this is the same thing that happened with the Chargers. When you have a young guy who's playing decent and you think can grow, you're going to go with the young guy over bringing back the established starter that you know where their ceiling is. I mean, this happens all the time. I've seen this in the NFL my entire life. I've consistently seen teams, whether it's Tua, they did it with Tua, they did it with Mac Jones, where they said, okay, we're going to go with Mac Jones because we think he has a higher ceiling. They did it with Patrick Mahomes. They had Alex Smith, and then they said, you know what? We think this kid has higher potential. They did it with Kaepernick, where they had Alex Smith, and then they went with the young Kaepernick because he had a higher ceiling. They're doing it in San Francisco with Trey Lance. The list goes on and on.
Right.
Lamar Jackson.
But my thing is, if they're producing, if the starting quarterback is producing the way that he should, that is never going to be a question whether this person should go in or not. I agree. I agree with you. It happens a lot. Yes, they do go with the younger talent. But again, Lamar Jackson is a phenomenal quarterback. He balls out when he's on the field. But when Tyler Huntley came in, they weren't saying, oh, shit, let's work with Tyler Huntley. They're like, hell no, let's get Lamar Jackson back out there. Tyler Huntley was a rookie.
Okay.
So there's a difference. There's a difference. If you're a badass quarterback, you're not going to put a lower-ranked quarterback. I'm offended by the Jimmy Garoppolo shit.
Well, okay, first of all, Jimmy Garoppolo threw an interception in Super Bowl with his eyes closed. but Tyler Huntley is not the same as those other situations because Tyler Huntley comes in to spell Lamar Jackson, who's injured or had COVID, right?
Right.
But the potential of Tyler Huntley is not bigger than the potential of Lamar Jackson. So you're going to go back to Lamar, especially when you have an offense that's completely crafted around his identity, where you can't just have somebody else come in and play the position the way that you would have it in a different kind of offense. So it's not comparable. The reality is that teams are going to go with the young guy with potential if that young player demonstrates or displays enough potential that they think, okay, maybe we can ride the hot hand. So, like, again, all the examples I gave, those are examples where the young guy comes in and you believe that he has much more potential than the previous player. They believe that Davis Mills as a young player had a maybe has a higher ceiling than Tyrod Taylor. But that doesn't mean that Tyrod Taylor's trash. It just means that they thought that Davis Mills might have a higher ceiling. That makes sense to me because I don't think Tyrod is a high ceiling quarterback. Right. I think he's a high floor quarterback, meaning that, like, I think he has a low ceiling and a high floor. Like what you get with him is going to be around 55-60% passing, which is actually like 60% is a starting quarterback's percentage. Like, right. And he did it multiple seasons. So
yeah, I didn't say that. Yeah. I don't
you
think
said he was terrible.
I don't. Yeah, I think he's terrible.
No, he's not terrible.
I don't think he's near as good as the majority of quarterbacks in the league. If I had to rank him, I'd probably put him down in 28, 29 if he was a starting quarterback.
I don't know if I put him that low.
I think he's a okay quarterback. I've put him down there with Zach Wilson, and I've put him
he's better than Zach
Sam
Wilson.
Darnold at the bottom.
Wait, no, no. Sam Darnold is the bottom.
Right.
Sam Darnold was number 32.
That's where I would put 30. A Tyrod Taylor off of a full season.
Let me put it this way. I'm not big on Baker Mayfield. I would put Baker over Tyrod.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. So from the ceiling to the floor.
I put Derek Carr over both of them.
So yeah. Oh yeah. Derek Carr is good. But from the ceiling to the floor, let's talk about Dropping It Like It's Hot with Beyonce's new album.
What a segue!
Hey, look, we had to segue into it somehow. So we were talking about Dropping It Like It's Hot from the ceiling to the floor.
Oh, my God, what a segue.
Like It's Hot. We were talking about low ceilings and high floors, but
please don't do that.
So look,
please don't do that.
I loved Beyonce in 2011. Okay, I know this is gonna bother you because I feel like that was her best year musically, in my personal opinion. I listened to Beyonce's whole album, and my personal opinion is that. The album kind of sounded the same to me. I know Beyonce has a huge following in the LGBT community, and I know that she resonates with Black women, and I appreciate that. But personally, I think the full capture of her audience was in 2011, where not only did you have both those communities, but you also had white people singing Single Ladies and all that. So Sasha Fierce, definitely one of my best albums. This one, I don't think that it ranks up, but you know, people might feel differently because she's topping the charts. How do you feel about Beyonce?
She is topping your charts.
My charts.
So, your charts.
By my charts, he means Billboard and the other high ranking charts. But continue.
I'm not one who really follows the charts like that, but so yeah, she the album is doing great. I love the album. I consistently listen to the album. Every time I listen, I think I've listened to it like maybe 12 times. And for context, I don't listen to a lot of music like that. Normally, I listen to like chill music and stuff. I don't really listen to a lot of music, but this album is just fantastic. It's a great house album. If you like house music, dance music, then you're going to love this album. It's just fun. It's a fun listen. It's made for Black people. It's made for LGBTQIA folks, but it's also made for folks who just want to have fun and dance after these rough years that we've been living through. If you don't like the album or Beyonce, then that's fine. I mean, I meet enough folks who don't like Beyonce or her music. But to me, it's a great album. Not everything has to be made for white people. I think that Renaissance is the, I don't think Renaissance is made where white people can't enjoy it, but I think that if a white, and I've seen some white people who have commented and critiqued it, but if you don't get it, that's okay too. It doesn't have to be for you. It could be for whoever it is. Like you don't go to a Southern, a soul food restaurant and they say, you know, I just don't understand why they don't have sushi. You don't do that.
If somebody walks in there, if somebody walks into a Southern fried cooking restaurant and was like, hey, they don't have sushi, I would be offended that you even came into the place.
Exactly. Because that's not what they do. It's the same thing with this album. If you went into it looking for a certain thing,
right,
and you didn't get it, that's okay. But that doesn't mean that the album failed or Beyonce failed because she didn't provide that thing you wanted.
I think my problem is I went into a Southern fried restaurant wanting unsweetened tea. I ended up getting sweet tea. So that was my issue with the album. I love Beyonce when she's singing ballads, and that's one of the things that I loved about her. Back then, like, a lot of the songs on her album were ballads, and you and I agree, you know, Halo is literally like one of her best songs, and I do love the Dreamgirls soundtrack. I'm obsessed with it. However, I think that I went in the Southern fried restaurant, one unsweetened tea, and then, I mean, I am not a house music guy, and I think I like to pride myself on listening to music all the way around the spectrum, but I couldn't get into it. And that, again, that's my personal opinion. I wanted ballads, and this is a dance album. So yes, definitely. If you like dance music, jam out, twerk a little bit, shake them titties. It's all good. I'll appreciate that. Apart from the album, I will definitely appreciate a girl twerking to any of Beyonce's song.
So this is what I would say.
There are other things you can pull from it.
If it's not for you, that's okay. But what I would tell you, Banks, as we wrap this up, you say that you like ballads, and from our previous conversations, I know that you like hearing her, you know, really sing ballads. So this is what I would tell you to do, Banks. You need to go and listen to two specific songs, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Don't go listen to the whole album, because the whole album is not your cup of tea. That's okay.
And I think I was playing Madden when I was listening to it, too. So
yeah, like, you said that once before, and I'm just trying to tiptoe over that part. Okay. Okay, what I want you to go listen to is Plastic Off the Sofa.
Plastic Off the Sofa. I'm writing it down.
Okay, and then go listen to Virgo's Groove.
Okay.
I think Virgo's Groove comes before Plastic on the Sofa. But listen to those two. And I think, okay, you will get what you're looking for, because Plastic Off the Sofa is more of the ballad. Mm-hmm. It's more of the sweet ballad song. It's a really beautiful song. And she's really singing in that song. In fact, there's a challenge on TikTok of people trying to hit all the things that she's doing in that song. And it's really hard. Yeah. Also,
she's an incredible singer. I don't want people to take this the wrong way.
No, it's just the album itself isn't really for you.
It wasn't the Beyonce that I like. So when you listen to other artists, like, so I bring up Toni Braxton because I'm completely obsessed with her and I love her, but there are like five different Toni Braxtons, right? You know, there was like the original Toni Braxton, another sad love song, and, you know, Love Should Have Brought You Home Last Night. And then there was like the newer Toni Braxton, like Yesterday, and it's just a evolution of her musical, you know, talents or whatever. So there's different versions of Beyonce. I think you know, I love the older version, the white people version. And now she's graduated.
It really is the white people version. It's just that version. It's
that I like that version of the music that she sang on that album. I think this is very different for people that were, you know, older, the people that love the older version of Beyonce. But people evolve, man, and people's taste in music evolve. So I think that she's doing a good job of transitioning her style to where it's not the label type style, and she's gradually coming into her own personal style where she doesn't have to take shit from the label anymore. She can just pump out whatever fuck she wants, and people are going to listen to it because it's Beyonce.
Yeah, so
and she's sexy.
And that's why I think you should listen to Virgo's Groove.
All right.
And I think it's you should listen off the sofa. Yes, but when you listen to Virgo's Groove, because Plastic Off the Sofa is going to give you the ballot you're looking for. Virgo's Groove is going to just listen carefully to the lyrics. That's okay. All I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Look, I will take time this evening, tell my wife to go away, and I will listen to this Beyonce songs, and I will tell you what I think.
God.
Next episode.
Next episode of Civil and Savage.
Civil and Savage. Hey, we are gonna have music coming here soon to open and close the show. So I'm pretty stoked about that. And hey, look, send the link to your friends, send the link to your family, your cousins, uncles, nephews, roommate. Go ahead and do that out. You'll find us everywhere that you get your podcast.
Yes, and also pick which one of us you like more, Civil or Savage. I do believe
I don't
want
to hurt his feelings, but
I was gonna say, you know. I think you're gonna win. But you know, who do you prefer? Which side of the aisle are you on? Are you on the civil side or are you on the savage side? Everybody's got a little civil in them. Everybody's got a little savage in them. Thank y'all so much for listening.
Thanks
we will
listening.
Talk to y'all next time.
Be good humans.
Be good humans. Talk to y'all next week.
All right. Peace.